This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 23rd of December, 2025, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green on this Christmas Eve Eve.
The eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good morning, Crystal. How you doing?
Good morning.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Because I asked you how you're doing.
I thought it was rhetorical. You know, like when people be like, hey, what's up? And then they don't give you, usually they don't give you time to respond.
Answer.
But you just said, hi. Like when you barely get hi or good morning out, they're just like, great, moving on.
So I know you've been gone a little while.
Yes.
Education project.
Yes.
But I see you forget the traditional Bahamian greeting.
What?
It has to be
greeting.
Two or more mornings to be a Bahamian
morning,
greeting.
Morning, morning. Yeah.
Right? As well. And
I was the only one. I just want you to know, walking into places saying good morning or good day, it was so strange because people just look like,
But I tell you why that's important. If you go missing, the people in your class can remember you.
Yeah, they can say, oh, she's that girl.
That's the girl who say good morning. Their first thought is she polite. They don't know if you're polite or not.
No.
But because when I was
in... They'd just be like foreigner.
When I was in boarding school in England doing my A-levels, I went to a school that a number of Bahamian girls, now women, attended. And at one point in time, I was appointed the head acolyte in the chapel, mm-hmm. right? And I asked my housemistress, I said, hold on, what's going on here? What's happening? How is it among all of these girls that have grown up in this school that you make me the head acolyte? In the chapel, right? And my housemistress, she looked at me, she didn't miss a beat. She said, oh, yeah, you from the Bahamas, right? We know y'all are Christian. There's a Christian country, and you focused on your Christian practice. And she said, but to be honest with you, you're the only person who genuflect before the cross, the altar, when you come into the chapel. So you use win, right?
Yeah.
It's something about...
You had good home training.
The way that Bahamians... present abroad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That marks the manner of our bearing. I think that's what that line in the national anthem means, right?
It can mean many things.
And that's why Bahamians are often assumed to be ambassadors of their country when they go abroad, because we behave, whether we have an official appointment or not, in many instances.
Very true.
And even if we just chilling and relaxing and gallivanting, if the country's name is raised, mm-hmm. we snap to attention right into that ambassador mode.
Yeah.
Right? It's something special about Bahamians. Something very special about Bahamians. We're going to talk a bit about it this morning. Unfortunately, the special may be on the other side of special. Crystal, I had some stories lined up for today. Road carnage, 40% of Nassau hit by accidents. And then a flashback to 2024, April. Police say traffic deaths unusually high as two more die over weekend. It's a great snapshot of the last sort of three years of stats.
Have we had less? I may have had my, nose less in news recently, but it seems like this year we had less murders, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also less traffic fatalities, right? So it seems like a lot of this, what do you call it, issues, these types of issues are like decreasing. Or went down this year. A good thing, a positive sign, but even one is bad. But I think we might be learning something or getting somewhere. You know, it might be an anomaly.
We need to understand the cause, right? Yeah. What's the cause
but
for the decrease?
But I think there's been more, yeah. Like from my observation, there's been less fatalities, which is a positive sign in the right direction, and more, well, I don't know if more accidents, but it's still been a lot of accidents.
Well, I had hoped that we would see more statistics shared with the public throughout the year. Like, we don't just have to wait for the year-end review that may take place in April of the following year, right? Mm. So we don't know because we don't have the numbers in front of us, but it seems.
Yeah,
it seems like they've been...
Okay, yes. True.
They've been only slightly less.
So it's kind of, yeah.
I think we've had less fatality. Well, there's been a decrease maybe in fatalities in New Providence and an increase in the Family Islands,
That's possible.
As well, over the last few years, I think there's definitely been an increase on the Family Islands. And just before we get into all of that, I just want to take a moment to ask all of you to join me in a moment of silence and prayer for the raccoons. I have not seen a raccoon in 2 months. I've not heard them in the bush. I've not seen them. And I thought, oh no, it's this time of year. It's New Year's. But people just eat raccoon soup.
No, no.
Yes.
I don't think that's happening.
I'm telling you. No. So raccoon.
Is that legal?
It's not illegal.
Oh no.
So eating raccoon is not illegal.
I don't know if that's healthy. Do they get rabies and
eating a raccoon is as healthy as eating a crab.
Remember the bat soup theory, you know, thing with the COVID. That's what this sounds like.
Eating raccoon.
It's
something that's been happening for decades and decades and decades in this country, right? Eating raccoon is like eating crab. For people who eat crab, for people who prepare crab for sale, right? If you're selling crab, you have to have a pen. The purpose of the pen is to restrict the crab's diet for a significant amount of time to clean out its system because a crab is a scavenger, like a raccoon. Now, a raccoon is a polite and fancy scavenger, but a scavenger nonetheless.
There's nothing fancy about a raccoon.
Yes, they have thumbs, miss.
They wash their hands.
They always end the garbage.
You always see a tail hanging out of the garbage.
But they stay washing their hands.
But they stay...
Like they're addicted. Like
flies wash their hands too. Have you seen
them? Yes. But
yes.
You just don't understand why the fly clean it. These are animals. They have a right to the planet, right? So... For people who prepare for people who prepare raccoons for sale, for consumption, for human consumption, they keep them in pens, right? And they restrict their diet for a sufficient amount of time to clear out the system, right? To remove all of the toxins from the system. So there are lots of people, and on New Year's morning, there are going to be people eating raccoon soup. Now, when we talk about food security and food sovereignty, the question is, are we prepared to properly farm raccoon for human consumption? Because right now, what we're doing, right now what's happening is that there are people who trap raccoons for homeowners, for farmers, because the raccoons are pests, right? And they take the raccoons to, there's a guy off of Bernard Road, has a proper pen. They take the raccoons there or to other people. The problem arises when the raccoon is sold to someone to be consumed. The pen that that person has is typically not as strong and secure as the pen that the raccoon was being kept in by the salesman. So a lot of raccoons escape at that point, right? And then they're back in the wild, terrorizing your fruit trees.
We learn something new every day because I had no clue. That is crazy stuff.
But I don't know
if you're on Instagram, but they have this thing. So
you mean the thing where the people that are trying to make the raccoons
pass? Domesticated. Yeah, they're domesticating them. Okay, the thing is too. So we know that they and I get it. in a way, like we know that raccoons are invasive. They're not, or at least non-native, right? And in some islands, they are invasive because they cause the crab populations to decrease. So you talk about crab
and
raccoons,
they're destroying farm crops. Yeah, they're destroying farm crops too.
Yeah, and they're destructive as well. So I get that part, but my goodness, I feel like they are too intelligent, you know, for us to
be eating them. I feel the same way about octopus, right?
Yeah, I don't eat. Yeah, me. I'm passionate about cephalopods. So we're not going to get into that today, but I love them. I don't eat calamari, y'all.
Watch this.
I don't eat squid. I will not.
So here's what I think. We're going to be trying to find balance with the people who don't eat animals and the people who eat animals, right?
I eat animals.
The first entry.
I just don't eat those animals.
The first entry I have is, hey, you should only eat what you can catch yourself. That's a good rule.
And what is legal to catch and eat.
Yeah, yeah.
There's
those restrictions.
Limits, yeah.
A producer, let's prep this caller. You only eat what you could catch yourself and don't eat anything that could escape from inside a closed container. If you see an octopus could open the jar of a container from the inside, don't eat that. They're too smart for you to eat.
Exactly. If they can escape, let them go. They want their freedom, right? But remember, grouper season is close, y'all.
We can get to that.
No,
good morning, caller.
Hey, my name is Green. Morning to you, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
You eat raccoon before?
No, I've never had raccoon before. And I can be honest with you, when I went to Zambia for a conference, and I was only there for 4 days, and I had the opportunity to eat crocodile. Even though the crocodile just bite a woman, I say, well, it's my job to bite you back. I had to refrain because I wasn't sure what this new type of meat would do to my stomach while I had 48 hours worth of traveling ahead of me.
But I've eaten shark before, but I never thought about eating raccoon. Would you ever eat raccoon?
I mean, I would not.
You have the opportunity?
I would not deny eating raccoon if it were the only thing available to eat.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, in that case.
But I don't know. I can be honest with you. I don't know. Because here's what the problem is. Once you look into the eyes of an animal,
oh my God,
you got to ask yourself whether you could eat that animal.
Yes.
I agree.
And these
all right. Thank you, man.
You're welcome. Yeah, man. Thank you.
It happened with me with conch. I don't know why. I saw this conch eyes. Like, it was in a crate, right? And I was like, it was in a crate.
Let's prep the next caller. Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, I was like, and it was just looking at me. Like the eyes, the eyes looked like the eyes of a dog, right?
Yeah.
And you know, like we've already humanized them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so hard. And I didn't eat conch for a year after that.
Oof. Good morning, caller.
Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
From the Foxhill area.
Yes, sir.
And the best chef for raccoon is in the Foxhill area, J. Kyle Ramen.
Yes, sir.
He, I don't think much could beat him cooking raccoon. I've never tasted that.
That's Reverend Ramen, right?
Yeah.
He
does that raccoon sauce or something. But you said something earlier about us Bahamians traveling.
Mm-hmm.
We are not only ambassadors when we travel, you know. We're some of the best behaved people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Bahamian people could behave, you know.
Yeah.
Then they reach, as soon as they pull out a Hertz rental yard, they throw on a seatbelt.
Mm-hmm.
And they respect in every sign what they can read.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some sign they can't read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every sign they could read. You go to a strange country and you just finding your ways by signs on the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's discipline.
Yeah.
You know, you direct somebody now so they tell you turn left off each street. You can see on red cop on the sidewalk, then go to the voice corner of your pot. Like, that's how we give direction.
Yeah.
You know, you go far and you got to read.
Yeah.
And we do that well.
Yeah, listen, it's up to me. When it's time to perform, we perform.
Yeah, that's it. You know what they call us?
Mm-hmm.
Showboat.
Yeah.
We can show good.
So yeah, yeah.
Boy, when we get home. You think that's a totally different voice altogether.
That's something, mate. But that, and maybe it is, right? Like, there's the tightness of holding yourself so firm when you're abroad. Like, imagine Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
in the midst of the civil rights movement mm-hmm. and navigating Hollywood mm-hmm. and navigating blackness in America, and then always thinking of the Bahamas, always thinking of the Bahamas right behind me. You got to hold yourself tight. That's why every time I see VJ Edge come dunk on these boy them, he's have that Sidney Poitier look on his face. Like, hold it together, guys.
Sure. But Ms. Green, let me say this in closing.
Yes, sir.
The children, even when you take your children out here in NASA,
mm-hmm.
they know how to behave.
Mm-hmm. Listen, thank you.
They're properly trained.
What happened? I don't know what happened just now. Sorry, Uncle. Crystal, there is a clip on social media. There's one of those trends, right, where...
I'm still taken aback by this raccoon.
We can get to the raccoon. We can get to the raccoon. So there's a camera stationed at the bottom of the escalators, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person will be on the escalators in front of somebody. The escalator's coming down. And the person will turn and just stare into the face of the people behind them, trying to get a reaction out of them for the camera. It's like a prank, right? Trying to get a reaction.
Oh, I know.
And
like
there's a video where this young white, could be Eastern European, Caucasian mixed woman, turns and looks at these two black women on the escalator behind her. And it turns out that those two black women are Bahamians.
I think I saw that clip.
Right?
I think
and the first thing the one woman does, she's very polite. She said, can I help you? You say, they staring, right? She just, because that's what we do.
We start cussing,
right?
Can I help you is so passive aggressive.
Then the other, the Bahamian woman is pinching her elbow to remind her, right?
Behave.
Listen.
Yes.
We don't,
yes.
Right? Because it's like she's saying, yes, I would like to eat her too, because we don't know what she's doing. We don't know what this crazy woman doing, right? But hold yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just held it. And that young lady realized in those moments that she had picked the two wrong people
to
prank on.
She looked like she was unfair. For like.
And they did it. Man, call a call right back. And
I saw that clip.
Hilarious, right? But I want to say to those two Bahamian women, look here, funny. When you get back home, you can get your badge.
That's funny.
You could tell when they spoke. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You on there?
Yeah, you got me?
I can hear you.
Yeah.
They'll cut off that hand to get free.
They bite that off for it, get that hand and go back.
Mm-hmm.
How serious is this?
Yeah.
This, the raccoon won't play, but...
There's plenty lessons for us that we could learn from the raccoon, right? This that thing right there that you talk about, a raccoon that is trapped will bite the limb off to get free. And the question for us is, are we that dedicated to our freedom? Are we prepared to make the sacrifice to let go of the parts of us that have us trapped for freedom? Right? That's a question that we have to ask ourselves as Bahamians right now. The question can come up. Are we prepared to let go of the sugar? Are we prepared to cut off the sugar? Because diabetes is killing us. The effect of diabetes on our body, vision, we have a vision crisis in the country where it could take you up to over a year to get an eye appointment. Right? And so I'm so thankful that you raised that point about the raccoon. Right? You know what else? Raccoon don't eat sour salt. Raccoon eat all the sugary stuff, and they leave the sour sop for us. And we call it, do you have any more raccoon information for us?
But I can say, boy, they smile in the average human being.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got to say.
Wow.
Yes, sir. We could.
Right.
Thank you. We could learn a lot from the raccoon. Here's a text. The raccoons have all moved in my backyard. There are several families that live amicably with my cat. I've only seen one case of a rabbit coon in my many years. Texter, you can't stop right there. What's a rabbit coon? A rabbit raccoon.
Rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay,
one case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that's scary. That's why I said, like, we need to, I know. So someone told me, this local scientist told me before that the bats here, they don't have rabies because they evolved differently and separately from like the bats in other countries. So they're what's the word they use, like endemic kind of?
Yeah. To the Bahamas?
Yeah, because, okay, you know, they live in caves and stuff, not much ways for them to get over on boats and planes.
Right,
and
they don't travel the way the other animals can travel. Right?
Yeah, so they, and actually they have, we have many species, I'm sure, that related to other species across the world, but they've been here for so long away from others till they don't have rabies. So this is what I was told.
So
yeah.
Taking your sort of introduction to the raccoon conversation, taking it seriously, right? I think perhaps we may need some laws. Mm-hmm. I think we need a law right away that says you cannot keep a raccoon as a pet.
Oh.
I think that we need to have that law.
Why?
Rabies. And let's go, we can go to caller.
What about cats and dogs, right? Don't they also get sick, but are they contagious, like raccoons?
Well, we need to find out.
Yeah.
I'm
not an expert on this.
Caller, we're coming right now, because if you get rabies, the injection for the rabies they give you goes directly into your liver.
Oh, God.
Caller, good morning. Good morning.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you and your guests.
Yes, sir. Happy
Merry
holidays.
Christmas.
Yeah, man. So you told the caller you never ate it? You never ate the raccoon before?
I mean, I had one friend named LeVar Pratt. He'd feed me turbot and call it minced lobster. I almost fall in love with him. And then when he said it's actually turbot, I did fall in love with him, because what a magic trick. But nobody tricked me. I don't think anybody tricked me into eating raccoon.
Hey, when that happened to me in the States. In the States, when I been here, one of my friends sometimes, he cooked the dinner and we eat it and everything. And we see them and his wife laughing and smiling and everything. And then they ask us, say, you don't know what that is? Did you eat everything? No, man, that tastes good. What it is? He said, that was rabbit. That's it. The rabbit that tastes good too. But I eat raccoon before. I eat steamed raccoon. Yeah, steamed raccoon tastes good.
I believe it tastes good.
Chicken to me.
Listen, I believe it tastes good. I believe you. I just haven't had the opportunity to eat it yet.
I can't do it.
Yeah. Let someone knock up some for you. But steamed raccoon season, man, right? Tastes so good. Tastes almost better than chicken.
Yeah. These are questions that we need to have with ourselves, because another COVID, another Dorian, right? Another major global incident, another Ukraine war where Europe's breadbasket is basically shut down. They tried to annihilate it, and then the rest of the world had to scramble for resources, right? Yeah. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? Okay, we miss you. All right, so we can talk about this headline, nominal 50-cent sugary drinks tax can raise millions. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this headline, road carnage, 40% of Nassau hit by accidents. But guess what? I'm sure there's a connection between these two. Mm. I'm sure a lot of these accidents are due to a lack of spatial awareness, because people are having vision issues. A lot of people are having vision issues that may be diabetes related. Right, so let's get into the headline. Nominal 50-cent sugary drinks tax can raise millions. Imposing just a nominal, does it mean like small, 50-cent tax on sugary drinks would raise millions towards closing the Bahamas' public care financing shortfall. A cabinet minister disclosed yesterday while asserting of the new national health strategy, quote, it's not a pie in the sky wish list, close quotes. First things first, 50 cents tax on drink is not nominal. And I don't know what nominal means.
No. I don't know if that...
If nominal means it's just small, it's relatively small comparatively, I don't know if 50 cents...
I don't know if I'm being subjective or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I would agree with you.
Yeah.
And that, in my opinion, sure.
A second question that arose is this essentially a tax on the poor? Somebody said, what about taxing wine, alcohol, cigars?
So that's, they mentioned that in the story. The health minister, he said alcohol, tobacco, and sugary drinks. He lumped all of those in together. And I thought it was very interesting because I'm like, you said alcohol, tobacco, and what? Alcohol, tobacco, sugary drinks, and he called them vices. And I'm like, okay, we're giving sugary drinks to children and you're lumping them in the same category as alcohol and tobacco. I don't know if that
Let's stick a pin right there.
Yeah.
Producer prep the caller. Sugar is poison. I can go on the record. Listen, if Suga have a lawyer, tell Suga's lawyer to call me. Not your girlfriend, Suga. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk to her. But Suga is poison.
Yeah.
It is poison. Suga is killing us.
Yeah.
The American Health Association talked to us all those years about salt. It's sugar is the problem. But let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there?
Yes.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, okay then. I'm happy you're speaking about raccoon. I know somebody said it already, but you know the raccoon is one of the cleanest animals on the planet.
Because they just wash their hands every 7 minutes, right?
Ain't only that.
Okay.
They don't pick up nothing. They don't. If they happen to pick up something off the ground, if it dropped from them, before they eat that, they go find water and they go wash that. They don't really eat off the ground. That's why they eat everything out of the trees.
So what they be doing? See, now I'm concerned. What they be doing in the garbage? Are they looking for components to build machines because they have thumbs?
I am not sure what they do. They probably smell chicken meat or something because I know they don't eat their fruits like that.
Now, I know, to catch a raccoon, you need a can, an empty can from the tuna or the sardine. Like, they like the smell of fish, I heard.
Well, they catch some kind of catty.
Well,
they're not cats.
The cat, if you say that
to cats will get mad.
Yeah, but you can't throw no raccoon or let a food drop on the ground and they eat that, but they can wash that first.
Yeah. Let me tell you how I know. So somebody was breeding cats in my neighborhood to deal with rats, but they forgot that it's a pigeon forest. And so now the nature of the ecosystem in my neighborhood has changed significantly over the last 2 years.
And cats are also invasive.
They're apex predators. Yeah, so anyway, this cat adopted my back porch because it's raised and protected from dogs, right?
The cat adopted the back
Listen,
porch.
Listen, I don't want you all to accuse me of turning away people and things that need help. So I let the cat stay on my back porch and I put a water container and a food container, right?
Okay.
Every day you come out, the water container is dirty. It'll have all kind of gravel and dirt and little aggregate and everything. And I said, but where's all of this coming from? Turns out the raccoon don't care that the cat drinking water out of that container. The raccoon treats that as its hand washing station.
Oh, well, you need to get that. You ever saw the Bahamas waste hand washing station? You need to get a little one for the raccoon.
Phil, and y'all thought I was talking. Okay,
the cats probably won't drink it if it gets too dirty. Yeah, the cats will stop drinking it. I'm telling you.
I don't know about this cat. See, it's these Bahamian pets and animals are weird and wild. I put out fresh water for the cat every day. I put out fresh water one morning, and the cat walked off the porch and went to a bucket that was turned upside down and drank rainwater from the top of the bucket rather than drinking the nice, crisp water I just poured from out the house.
Yeah.
Ungrateful.
Rainwater, more flavor, man.
So, here's the question. If you had to get taxed, Bahamas, if you had to get taxed, where you want the tax to go? You want it to go on the alcohol? You want it to go on the tobacco? Or you want it to go on the sugary drinks? Here's another question. If the product is locally produced, should it be taxed in the same way that an imported product is taxed?
Good question.
Right? Because I don't want to hear lobbying from the importers, the local manufacturers have an advantage because they don't have to pay all the taxation and all these costs that we have to pay, right? Should tobacco grown locally and tobacco products made from local tobacco be taxed at the same rate as imported tobacco products? Mm. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green. Good morning to Krista.
Morning.
Some of the two favorites on the radio, eh? Yeah, but listen, you know, as it relates to the raccoons, Krista mentioned something. You know, the bats, the rabies is, even though it's common in rodents and mammals, right, it's very rarely transmitted to humans through the zoonotic effect, but bats are the original host of the rabies virus.
Okay.
All right? And so what happens is, because, I mean, you're talking about environmental factors, you know, when they bite one another, et cetera, et cetera. But I just call it, I've tasted raccoon, you know, I was born in 64, and I went, and Crystal, you know, I don't eat meat, of course, anymore, right, Crystal? Which is quite clear, right? But everyone sees what type of hair I'm wearing. But the thing is, I taste raccoon. I taste turtle, right, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my father was from Zuma. The raccoon, it was steamed raccoon with something in my family line. It tasted, I remember, the memories of it, it just tasted, it was good. Mm-hmm. So obviously, people, aboriginal tribes in Africa, the Hadzabi and the Pygmies, et cetera. No, I wouldn't call it the Pygmies, that's a British name, the Twa.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of indigenous tribes eat raw, wild meat. Mm-hmm. They don't get sick, and they don't have these zoonotic effects.
Yeah.
So the thing is, you have to understand that people can infect species and let them go in the wild to infect people. There's all type of other ways the biological weapons program work. But as it relates to us getting sick, Aaron,
mm-hmm.
you're very correct. And Kristen might have seen it. There's a study on rodents. I don't know how old it is. I've known it for decades. In which we know that high fructose corn syrup has been proven to show cognitive decline in rodents, and it also breaches the blood-brain
barrier. Yes,
brain
yeah, I've
know
seen
this.
That, yeah.
And another thing they're not mentioning, that because we're not aware, the effects of pesticides and persistent organic pollutants and other heavy metals, cadmium, lead, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
on cognitive decline
yep.
and cognitive and learning abilities. They know this, mm-hmm. but you won't hear it because they don't want you to know it. Environmental mm-hmm. factors are one of the most dangerous factors as it relates to brain damage
mm-hmm.
and metabolic syndrome follows with people. But this is what capitalism brings. You know, they keep us in the dark until somebody sees a spark. And this is the way humanity is headed now. You don't know, even as it relates to phone and technology, you know, it also leads to cognitive decline mm-hmm. and cognition because it dumbens the children down because years of mindless schooling. Studies show that they have no attention span now. So
yep.
they're achieving the agenda even though you won't surrender. You know, nothing is what it seems to be in this human journey. And studies are showing now that you have people entering college that haven't read a whole book yet. So this is why I tell you, you have to read peripheral books in order to get a true outlook on life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be spoon-fed what they want you to know. And that's the way the world goes. Give thanks.
Blessings. Thank you very much, 52. Oh, man, so much said yeah. there. Let's go to the text line. It's all about raccoons, Crystal, I can be honest with you. Good morning. I saw a raccoon for the first time in my life last month. I had a stare down from my balcony, too. And because they didn't move, I became intimidated and backed away. That's what to do. Like, okay, raccoon don't want to interact with you. They don't really want to interact with you. But you may be in the way, right? And so the most scared I've ever been is when the mama or the papa raccoon brought what was obviously a baby raccoon on the porch to teach them the ropes. Mm-hmm. And the baby raccoon looked at me like we were friends and it was going to come and hug me. And I was so concerned because I didn't want the mama, the adult raccoon, to panic seeing the baby raccoon run towards me.
You sound like you live in the woodlands.
I do.
Like,
I'm telling you. Listen,
on the porch, the most, rescued on
the
it's
most
like you
beautiful.
Have birds coming and landing on your shoulder.
Yes. Spiders.
In the morning.
Spiders trying to dance in front of me like a Disney video.
Oh, no.
And the thing is, there are these little pockets in New Providence, right? That's why people, Crystal, that's why people come here and don't leave, right? Because
that
you could
so
find these little pockets
crazy.
Of city and nature, and it's just so beautiful. Yeah, back away. Texas say all of the above. Here's another text. Happy Christmas. All medicine is poison in the right dose. Sugar isn't the problem. It's the amount of sugar that's the problem. Happy Christmas. Tax them all. 25 cents for local produce vices.
A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down.
Okay, so let's talk about it. Texter, you correct.
And a lot of
all medicine, anything can be poison. Mm-hmm. Anything can be toxic if not consumed in the right doses. Overconsumption of water
mm-hmm.
can kill you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to take a leap. I'm going to take a leap here, text, and I'm going to show you a vibe, right? Not all sugars are the same.
Very true. Very true.
So there is the naturally occurring sugar that we consume with fruit
mm-hmm.
and vegetables. Some like carrot. Mm-hmm. We call carrot a vegetable, but it's
other
a root.
Plants,
right?
There are the plants that produce sugar and sap and
right.
Nectar.
So there's the naturally occurring sugar that you consume when you eat a whole product, harvest, crop,
yeah.
produce,
honey.
Right?
Yeah.
Mango, tamarind, dilly, papaya, beets.
Mm-hmm.
Then there is the sugar that is refined from these products,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we have white cane sugar and we have white beet sugar, right? Bang. So we're now talking about two different types of sugar, right? Then there is a third type of sugar, which is refined from the refined sugar. Now we're talking about corn syrup. We're talking about hydrogenated
mm-hmm.
and hydroxylated, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you have, you're talking about three different types of sugar.
Sucrose, yeah.
And processed, not naturally occurring, right? Three different types of sugar. They are not the same. Let me post that onto another example. Recently, I was reading an article, I think it was the U.S. was talking about taking the coca leaf off the Schedule 1 for drugs, right? Mm-hmm. Coca leaf is the root, the base of cocaine. Mm. People in countries where that coca leaf is indigenous, they eat the leaf for energy, an energizer. It's a common practice for millennia, mm-hmm. right? But then they take that coca leaf and they process it. They use acid, they use lye, all kinds of things, mm-hmm. and they turn it into what we know as cocaine, right? There's two different products now. And then they take the cocaine and they process it and they turn it into crack rock. So there's three different products. The crack rock and the cocaine are not the same as the coca leaf. The same thing with the sugar. Mm. Now, mind you, people who are diabetic, everybody has to monitor their sugar. The world helps you do that. How? It's very simple. If you eat the fruit that is in season where you grow and you limit your sugar consumption to naturally occurring sugars in the produce that you eat, mm-hmm. right? That's different still from moderating the amount of refined sugar that you take into your body. So, yeah. Tex, I want to say that you're not wrong. Mm-hmm. Anything can be a poison. Anything can be toxic if it's not taken in the appropriate doses. And the dose that's appropriate for me may not be the dose that's appropriate for you.
Very true. Yeah. And I have tips. So what I learned in...
Well, hold on. Let's take the caller, and then we're going to go to the tips and the new acronyms, language that we need to know for this new dispensation. Good morning, caller.
Green and Crystal. Ms. Green, you were correct about the hydrolyzed sugar, which simply means adding water to the molecule, right? But mm-hmm. the text was, I mean, he's incorrect because the amount of sugar... See, what happens is they don't do enough reading on nutrition. Let's use common sense here, where our knowledge starts. When I eat a whole fruit, the sugar absorption mm-hmm. is impeded by the roughage that's in the fruit. So this is why if I drink a can of juice, I get more sugar versus if I eat an orange, okay? Mm-hmm. And what happens now is the text is not bearing in mind a basic principle of chemistry, which is surface area reaction. When you consume granulated sugar, that is not a natural sugar in the fact that the body absorbs the glucose too quickly because it's granulated. Mm-hmm. You get a faster absorption because you have a bigger surface area. Just like when you cut up your weed or you cut the detergent is granulated to get a more better. That is why chemicals are granulated, so you get a fast reaction. Mm-hmm. It is the same thing with sugar. So it is the rate at which your body absorbs the sugar that does the damage. That is mm-hmm. why you get with the sugar rush and the damage that it does. Now, they need to go look at the study and show the cognitive decline in rodents, in which rodents can even simply remember certain corridors and certain skills and dementia, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It also causes dementia by killing off or making the microbial cells in the brains that clean up dead cells to go erratic and start to eat healthy brain cells. These studies are online for everybody to go and see. You don't spread things that are incorrect. If the sugar is dangerous. So if you're a person, if you're sitting down at your desk every day, sitting down in your car and sitting on TV, sugar is more dangerous. But if you are when I was on the construction site, Crystal, I could drink a can of soda, and by the time I reach 4 o'clock, I'm hungry again with it. But it's still, you're burning it off. But most people are not active. If you're not active, you shouldn't be consuming vast amounts of sugar because it doesn't make sense because you don't understand the metabolic fallout of it. It also causes metabolic syndrome. Sugar is not, sugars, like you explained to them, whole sugars from whole foods is best.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. I know we're going to go into the acronyms, right? Mm-hmm. Here's what's different.
I think something very interesting that's been coming up for several callers today mm-hmm. is a lot of what we're talking about now, sugar being very toxic, and a decade or a few decades ago, what we're talking about now, which mm-hmm. is common knowledge or becoming more common knowledge, would have been conspiracies.
Okay, no, pause. I can take it back.
It would have been like, oh, well, what are they talking about?
Watch me wheel and tell you. No. our grandmothers, and now our great-grandmothers, right, for the Gen Alphas, your great-great-grandmother, your great-great-great-grandmother, they knew. They knew the dangers of sugar. That's why they make you drink your cod liver oil. That's why they make you drink your Cerasi. That's why when you go to the island with Grammy for the summer, at some point she can purge you, right? So she can make you drink these things, right? I think that we've always known, if not the science, we've always known through experience, right? Experiential knowledge that sugars are dangerous, but we have a response to it, which is the bitters, right? And that's why I say bitterer is betterer, because that's something I absorb from behind me, right? Like my I can't even remember if my Grammy made us, forced us to drink cod liver oil and stuff like that. But my housekeeper, oh yeah, she from the island, from Andres, and she tricked me into it. She had a bottle of Coca-Cola in the fridge, and I asked her if I could have some of that Coca-Cola. She said, you could have the whole thing if you want. And I smiled, and I took that like a fool, because I had no manners. I take it and I opened it to horseback it, because she said I could have it. And I began horsebacking that Coca-Cola, and it was Cerasi. And she did laugh at me. But she said, you need to drink it. It's good for you, right? Bitterer is betterer. I think we've had the answers. But when, as the world changed and the language used to navigate the world changed, right? Our language didn't change with it. We should have been saying this the whole time. We should have been reminding these new parents. No, there's a reason why we force these bitters down your throat.
Yeah. And there's also like an economic barrier, and there's also a social barrier, right? Because it's like, what do you have accessibility, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have these plants in my yard. I don't have these things I could get, like, and I could give my family in my yard, and I can't even identify them. We didn't learn them in school. We learned about all the evergreen and this.
Yeah, you
this
didn't learn the blue vervain, and the dandelion, the dejerina.
Yeah, but we didn't learn about our plants. We don't know which ones are good for us. We don't know which ones to drink or to take when we're feeling sick or if we have a stomachache or a headache. And all of this knowledge has kind of been lost in a sense. And like I said, several decades ago, because several decades ago, we were also told, stop using bush medicine. It's not good for you. Use the prescribed medicines. But we see now all the side effects from those, because similarly to what you said, and I'm not demonizing the
traditional
medicine, medicine industry, because it's fine, right? And we need those prescriptions. Thank goodness for the doctors. But at the same time, it was not right for us to kind of remove ourselves or put back this traditional knowledge that we held on to for so long, to think that, oh, we're moving forward into the future. And then it ended up stabbing us in the back, because what has more sugar, more sodium, more whatever? They're also in the pharmaceutical drugs we take. So sometimes, especially if it's a simple cold or flu or something, maybe it is worth it to give the Cerasi and the cod liver oil, you know, a try. So
okay, let's go to the call, and then I can tell you all the story about what I think are the origins of the product Viagra. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How you do?
Well, boy, Harry Beam is a born doctor. I can prove that case right now.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
If y'all can stupid with the cure for that is. The best.
Yeah.
You have a headache or your belly ache, what the cure for that is?
Ginger ale.
See?
Yeah.
If you fall off a cliff, what the cure for that is? Walk it off.
Yeah.
If you get burned,
drink some Cerasi and walk it off.
Yeah.
You walk it off. Yeah. If you get the cold, what the cure for that is?
Drink some bush. Yeah. Drink some bush.
I tell you, every baby is a born doctor.
I got you. I got you. Thank you very much. You better call me when the raccoon's seven in Fox Hill.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
All right. The text says, I'm not disagreeing with 52. I'm saying that his explanation is one pathological route that is compounded by the amount of sugar in the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's a cool conversation.
But thank goodness for those studies that he referred to, those studies with the rats. Go and check them out. I think some of them are on YouTube. You could go and see what happened with the sugar intake. It was similar. And they said it was similar to taking serious drugs like cocaine. So it's good that you brought that up too. So these refined products, like you said, they have a negative impact and they have side effects as well. So in the short term, you may not see it, but in the long term, you'll see diabetes, dementia, up to the point where now we're passing along, you know, genetics to our children. And now doctors in the Bahamas have been sounding the alarm for years now on children with childhood diabetes because the awareness is not there. So the same awareness you said that we had in generations gone by about the cautions of sugar, that doesn't exist anymore. And it hides. It's hidden in so many things products. All over. And it's getting worse. Even in things you don't need. Why do I need sugar scrub for my body? Okay, anyway, let's continue.
So it's
sugar's in everything.
It's like,
whether you're consuming it or like eating it or you're putting it on or soon they're going to start putting it in clothes.
Back in 2003, I was working at Bahamas Environmental Research Center, just kind of like a driver aid, right? Guide, not the nature guide. And one of the individuals who was a tour guide at one point told us in the vehicle that several years ago, maybe a decade, two decades, well back, they were a part of a tour, right? He was like a junior guide maybe, and he said that he along with this team walked men into the bush to show some foreign researchers, academics, bush source, right? This bush, this was from, and he said that several years after that a major pharmaceutical company produced a product called Viagra. If you are familiar with bush medicine tradition in the Bahamas, we have a number of concoctions that are specifically for erectile health and function, right? One is a bush whose name I can't call on the airwaves. But we know 21-gun salute. And then I don't know what y'all be doing, but apparently there's a 57-gun salute as well, right? And so a lot of the bush that we consume in this tradition, what we call a traditional way, researchers are using, they're taking those things, breaking them down, and taking the active elements from them and making these pharmaceutical products that we're seeing in the market. Now, we're not going to deny, Dr. Marvin Smith will tell you right away, it's all about dosage. Can you determine with certainty what the dosage you're receiving from this cup of bush is, right? So we appreciate that. We're not discounting that, right? Drinking bush medicine is...
And also there was a caution several years ago about taking it with
other medications.
That's the basic. Yeah, do not do
if
that.
If you're on other pharmaceuticals, you do go to your... Not just your doctor, provider. But you go to the pharmacist and have that conversation as well and ask your pharmacist to talk to your doctor about it, right? Yeah. Before you consume any bush medicine. Okay, let's see. The texter says, have you seen the documentary about how the very influential sugar industry paid scientists to lie on fats instead of sugar, saying sugar was not guilty of health metabolic dysfunction?
Yes, they did the same thing. And these are great things to look up over the holiday. Just read them, look them up. I mean, it's a little depressing, but it's very informative. And also they did it with, remember, the tobacco industry too, with smoking.
Yeah.
There were doctors who used to tell people to smoke.
Okay, watch this.
It's good for you. It's healthy right. for you. It's a whole
bunch of foolishness. But there is a difference between smoking a tobacco product made with just tobacco leaf.
Yeah, no. This was right? nicotine.
And paper. And a factory-produced cigarette.
Yes.
Right? There are 100 additives to that factory-produced cigarette that is not necessarily naturally occurring.
But this was cigarette companies paying doctors to say this product is good. They did it with makeup, too.
And so, let's go back to the president of the Pharmaceutical Association, Dr. Marvin Smith, who tells us, listen, while cannabis may have positive medicinal effects, no doctor worth their salt is going to recommend that you smoke it, right? And so we say, listen, smoking a tobacco leaf may have less negative effects than smoking a factory-produced cigarette, but your pharmacist and your doctor will remind you, No smoking is good for your body. So avoid it if possible.
Very true.
Yeah. Okay, so we got a few seconds left. We got a few seconds left, producer. Okay, read off three acronym crystals before we go.
So you want to remember that sugar sweetening beverages is SSBs and NCDs are non-communicable diseases. And also a tip for when you go to the food store and you want to avoid sugar and bad, you know, oily foods, the end aisles. A doctor told me this, a nutritionist, the end aisles, the produce aisle and the freeze aisle for the most part.
Yeah, the frozen veggies.
Yeah, the vegetables and the meats. Stick to that. Everything in the middle, over-processed, highly processed, for the most part. Okay, so skim through the middle, but the ends are where you need to be buying the bulk of your grocery for. From the next one is if you want to know how much teaspoons of sugars in a product, you divide it by four, the grams by four, and then that's how you know how much teaspoons. So 52 grams, you divide that by four, and you know how much teaspoons of sugar is
we don't want people to,
so be careful this Christmas season. You know, we're going to be eating a lot of sweets. I will too. Oh my gosh.
All right.
But
you coming to join me tomorrow?
Yes.
All right. Good stuff. So watch this, guys. Also, fasting. Fasting is something we used to do. Yeah. And it has a religious, as a Christian, and beyond Christian, Rastafarians, Nazarene vow, right?
Muslims, yeah.
Yeah, fasting is a part of this balancing sugar in our bodies. Anyway, we out of time. Producer, thank you very much. Crystal, thank you very much. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neary is up next.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.